Find out what's going on with California's Debo problems with Brad Friedman, author of Brad Blog and one of the great progressive voices of alternative media today. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 866-389-FIRE. That's 866-389-3473. Or you can email us at info@ringoffireradio.com. We're back on Ring of Fire on Air America Radio. I'm Mike Papantonio in Pensacola, Florida, with Robert F. Kennedy at the Pace Law School in White Plains, New York. Ahead, world-class blogger Brad Friedman joins us to talk about the most recent voting oddities in California. I'm Mike Papantonio with Bobby Kennedy on Ring of Fire on Air America Radio. A few weeks ago, a special election was held in California to replace the disgraced crook GOP Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham. Democrat Francine Busby was supposedly defeated by Republican Brian Bilbray, but the Debo Republican dirty tricks are starting to surface, as if we didn't know they were out there. With us now is Brad Friedman, author of The Brad Blog. He broke the story. So, Brad, I'm following this new development. What is this new concept of called sleepovers? What is that?
It's actually an old concept, but it's a brand new problem, and it's a huge problem. It used to be no problem to send home voting machines with poll workers. This was done regularly, and there wasn't anything you could really do with these machines. Now, however, we've got these new machines, these Diebold machines specifically down there in San Diego that was used in this special runoff election down there, regarded as a bellwether for what would happen in November. This was the first federal election since these emergency security mitigation requirements were put in place at both the state and federal level.
Well, tell us about that, because you helped. Yeah. You were part of all that. Why was it an emergency? What type of safeguards were supposed to be put in place? How did the California Secretary of State, Bruce McPherson, go at this problem?
We found out within really just the past 3 or 4 months that these Diebold voting machines, both the optical scan versions that use paper and the touchscreen systems, are incredibly vulnerable to hacking. This was really first revealed back in December of 2005, right at the end of the year, when there was a mock election down in Leon County, Florida.
Eon Sanchez.
Yeah,
Sanchez.
That's right.
Yeah, Eon Sanchez.
Simple
yes
or no question, can Diebold machines be hacked via their memory cards? 6 people voted on paper. They said no. 2 people said yes. They ran the ballots through the tabulator, and it came back completely reversed. 1 no, 7 yes. That was on paper.
Sanchez has been complaining about this for years now.
Exactly. And he, you know, he's been trying to get folks' attention. Well, he finally got some folks' attention, and when that election was flipped without a trace left behind, except for the paper ballots, everybody also then came to realize that because this was Florida down there, there's a new law. You can't count those paper ballots once they've been counted by a machine. So that problem would have never been discovered down in Florida.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it set the country, Bruce McPherson, the Secretary of State out here in California, as well as the federal authorities, and I put that in quotes, the folks to do the certification, it set them off to put these emergency mitigation requirements in place. Then you move the clock forward to June 6th. They have the first federal election on these machines down in San Diego, where they used all Diebold machines,
optical
scan and touchscreen. And remarkably, instead of following those requirements, which say that programmed memory cards and voting machines must be stored securely, they send these machines home with poll workers for days and weeks at a time prior to the election to be stored in their cars, their garages, completely unsecurely.
And that's called the sleepover.
That is the sleepover.
Okay, now tell us this. The poll worker has the machine in their home. You say that used to go on, but even with the paper, the old ballots, it wasn't really a problem.
Right.
Here, though, you've got a machine that we know, I mean, everybody, every serious investigator who's looked at this says that you can easily tamper with memory cards. Tell us how you tamper with memory cards.
Every computer scientist and security expert out there who's now looked at the problem since these things have been revealed have seen that within 2 minutes' time, no password necessary. You can completely change the election software, the operating system, and even the computer firmware on these voting machines. So, you know, that's one of the reasons these extraordinary requirements went into place. And we have further learned that if you can contaminate one machine, that can then contaminate all of the other machines in the election.
In Ohio, upwards of about 80,000 votes that were supposed to go to Kerry were counted for Bush instead on these machines. That's kind of an example of what we're talking about.
Well, it can be an example, but it has now gotten much worse in that we've identified some of these specific vulnerability points. The information has been released on the web just within the past few months. So both the federal body and the state out here in California issued these brand new rules, laws, and provisions for required use on these machines, and then the first chance they had, they essentially completely ignored them. Now, when those requirements are not met, it says very specifically that federal certification is removed, as is state certification removed. That special election, regarded as a bellwether across the country, was run on 100% decertified voting machines.
Okay, well, so let's talk about that. You had, so Bill Bray was announced as a winner. How could you announce Bill Bray as the winner if you know you had 70,000 ballots that weren't even counted? How did that happen? I mean,
well, you know,
my memory, they're swearing this guy in before anything was really verified.
Well, he was actually sworn into Congress about 5 days after the election. The election itself was not even certified by the county until just the end of last week.
Running against Democrat Francine Busby, who, by the way, why in the world she conceded this? What was it, a
4,500 vote difference. Yeah, I think she was racing John Kerry for the speed concession.
Yeah, what was that about? Do you have any insight about why in the hell she would have said, yeah, I'm going to do that when you didn't even have all the votes counted?
I believe I do, yeah. And the answer is somewhat troubling. I've had several folks have confirmed to me that they've been told that the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, had essentially instructed her prior to the election to stay away from the voting machine issues.
Why? And so you have the Democratic leadership say, hey, let's just tiptoe past the graveyard?
Oh, yeah. And they're still doing it. This is what's remarkable. I mean, she came out with a statement, Busby did, saying that we had hundreds of people from both parties watching the tabulation on election night, and they didn't see anything wrong.
Let me just tell you something. In Ohio, where you had one county, there was a total of about 4,000 votes for Bush, 260 votes for Kerry. In that precinct, interestingly enough, though, there were only 800 registered voters.
That's right.
800 registered voters, but right. Bush got 4,000 votes.
Of them.
Now, let me just tell you something. You know what's bothersome to me? Hmm. A lot of times when people talk about these issues, they don't use real facts. The reason people like your blog so much, the reason you have such credibility, is you actually go get the information directly from the source, don't you?
Well, that's right. If I can't, I like to put out the information so that it can be independently verified. No one should trust me, much as no one should trust election officials. We should be able to verify things. The fact of the matter is, there is no way in the world, Pat, that the Busby-Bill Bray election down there can be verified at this time as authentic. If you ask the registrar, Michael Haas down there, who, by the way, in an interview, told me himself that storage in cars could not be considered secure. There is no way that he can prove to you that Brian Bilbray won that election. Now, the onus ought to be on election officials.
Right,
to
right.
Prove that they had a legitimate election.
Exactly. It should be a shift of burden, shouldn't
and,
it?
Exactly. We don't have to prove fraud. They have to prove that it was accurate. Now, the biggest problem, and this underscores the DCCC that I mentioned, the DNC, frankly, is that with Busby's statement, when she says there's hundreds of people looking, they didn't see anything wrong, you could have a million people looking.
Oh, of course.
And you wouldn't see anything wrong.
Well, are they just out of touch? They just out of touch, Brad?
Yes. But, and the fact that the Democrats don't see this and they aren't jumping in here now, you know, to force them to prove this Busbee-Bill Bray election means that they are out to lunch. If they're going to wait until November when 435 of these things, Mike, happen on the same day, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you
can't keep up.
I'm trying to put the message out. Listen right now. Watch what's going on in the California 50th Busbee-Bilbray race, because it's not about California or Busbee-Bilbray. This is about the way these elections will be run in November and the time to deal with it and send the message that these sleepovers don't work anymore is right now, not in November. We've got to get that message to the DNC and the DCCC.
Brad, let's follow up on this story a little bit more in about a month or so, okay?
Anytime.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
I appreciate it.
Bye. If you'd like to talk with Bobby and me on the show, call our hotline anytime and leave us a message. The number is 866-389-FIRE. You can also go to our website at ringoffireradio.com to post a message or listen to any of our past shows. Or you can download our show every week on iTunes Podcasts. It's under News and Politics.
Our producers, Maury Small, associate producer Scott Milliken, John Lucas is production director. Our segment producers are Farron Cousins and Deanna Neal, and Ginger Miles is editor. Join us next week, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Mike Papantonio on Ring of Fire on Air America Radio. Good morning, we'll see you like